It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing way. The refreshing way.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Sabbath to you. It's time for worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast, and it's time for us to give thanks to the Lord on this Sabbath, January 28th. My wife will open us with prayer.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time of sacredness. We thank you for your Sabbath. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be to open up your word once again and to study it out. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and abide with us in a special way. Give us fresh manna from heaven as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Bless us as we grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Good morning, everyone. Again, thank you for joining us today. God bless you. And it's time for us to begin. And our topic is the sign of our salvation. We're reading Exodus 31 from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 18. And then we have some companion scriptures that we'll be going to. We have church service today. We'll be talking about how to fight like heaven to save our country. Did you catch that? How to fight like heaven to save our country. You know what that's in reference to. At least someone else said we should fight like something else to save our country. We're going to talk about how to fight like heaven to save our country. All right, my friends, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you very much for this beautiful day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to abide with us. We ask that you come and tabernacle and speak and use us, give us clarity on the scriptures and inspire us, Father, to be filled with your Spirit, that we might receive the blessing intended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those of you who can join us, we are on most Sabbaths, only sometimes when we have circumstances beyond our control. But we have worship on the Sabbath at 12 p.m., and that's Eastern time. You can join us via Zoom. You can join us, and there'll be a link on Facebook a little later. But also, if you want to write this down, the ID is 557-587-3947. That's 557-587-3947. Join our church family for worship, would you please? The password is TORSO in small letters, T-O-R-S-O-E. TORSO, T-O-R-S-O-E in small letters. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is Exodus 31:12, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now we will learn that when you are sanctified, it is only people who remain sanctified that are saved. So this is a sign of salvation. God is going to save his people from their sin, as it says in Matthew 1:21. Some people believe that when you're sanctified, it's a one-time thing. No, it's the work of a lifetime. It's lifelong obedience. That means you can choose not to obey at any point in time. It will be a foolish thing to do, but people do it. So, I want to say this about this sign throughout your generations. The generations of the Jews went from, you could say, Abraham all the way to, or really, Abraham was the father of them, but the children of Israel, if you count them coming out of Egypt, you have that all the way through when they were rejected during the time of Christ. Okay? That's their generation, because after that, God doesn't acknowledge them anymore. You can read about that in Romans 11. So I want to tell you all of the doctrines out there that are teaching that the 144,000 are literal Jews, all the teachings out there that say we're all going to be in Jerusalem, or that God's going to do something very special in literal Jerusalem, that's a smokescreen. It's not the truth. God never honors those who murder the Savior of the world. He doesn't do that. But in Romans 11, he speaks of a tree. And the main trunk of the tree, of course, is heaven, is God, is the principles of right, and there were branches. The branches were the Jewish nation, and they were broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted in. But through Paul, God said, that the broken branches can be grafted in again. Jewish people can be saved just like anybody can be saved, but there's nothing special about being a Jew anymore. They are no longer the chosen people. That's not putting them down. They rejected Christ. They reject Christ today. They do not accept him, but as an imposter. Okay? And I'm really sad. There have been people who were Christians who became Jews. I don't know what to say, but I don't believe you'll be saved without coming back to Jesus. Regardless of the fact that maybe you got married and you married somebody Jewish, that's no excuse. Your relationship with Christ has to be stronger than your marriage. Your relationship with Christ has to be stronger than your job. Your relationship with Christ has to be stronger than any connection that we have. And that's what the devil wants you to not to know. And so we have different reasons. Some people don't want to lose their houses and salaries and all of these things, and that's why they won't take a stand when it comes to some issue, whether it be a health issue, whether it be a moral issue, which a health issue is a moral issue as well. And so, my friend, that's what you have. But God wanted us to understand that the Jewish nation did not begin the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given at creation, my friend. God said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished in Genesis chapter 2 and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And he sanctified, it says, the seventh day, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so the Sabbath was given to us at creation. There were no Jews. Adam and Eve weren't Jews. They were the first parents of humanity. And then you go all the way 10 generations from Adam to Noah. There were no Jews. And then you go from Shem, which is Adam's son, all the way another 10 generations, and there were no Jews. That takes you from him to Abraham. And Abraham would be the father of many nations. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham in the Old Testament was in the New Covenant, friends. And so after that, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, then you have a nation, you might say, that has been solidified as God's people coming out of Egypt, and then he gave his covenant. So here's a principle you need to understand. Anything that's for everybody is also for the Jews. But some things for the Jews aren't for everybody. Okay? That's how you understand it. That which God required for everybody was also required for the Jews. But those things that were required during the time that he would recognize the Jews were not required for everybody after that. And so if you can understand that, there were ceremonial Sabbaths, the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpet. There were ceremonial Sabbaths associated with the feast days. And there were basically seven feasts. And those seven feasts were pointing forward to some aspect of Jesus' ministry. Not so with the Sabbath. The Sabbath points backwards to God's creative power. And the reason why the Sabbath is a sign of salvation, which we will receive if we remain sanctified, is that you who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, me who was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we who have done foolish things, lived riotous lives, some of us, done wrong, all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we had to have a new heart. God had to do something new creatively in us, and the Sabbath is a sign of creation. So that's why the Sabbath is a sign of your salvation. It is a sign of sanctification, because when you are sanctified, you are recreated with a new heart. David said in Psalm 51:10, create in me, he asked, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When you have high and holy impulses, that just doesn't come naturally. That comes spiritually. The Lord puts that in you. Now, we can raise our children in the right way and keep them where they fall in love with Jesus, but he still does a work in their heart. And when they give their heart to God, they'll still, even in their youth, they will know of things that they must repent of, okay? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, okay? So everything that is for everybody, that God requires for everybody, he required for the Jews. So now when he's telling them to keep his Sabbath, okay, this is different than the ceremonial Sabbath that was just for them. So even though it said it was throughout their generation, but he had already established it for everybody. The Sabbath was a sign of sanctification for everybody. So I want you to understand that. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verse 13 of Exodus 31, verily my Sabbath shall ye keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now, this is also given in Ezekiel, I believe, 20:12. Why don't we just walk on over there real quick? Going to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 12. The Bible says, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. So it's repeated in Ezekiel 20:12, and later in that chapter, he says that it is a sign that he is their God. I forgot the exact verse, but I don't see the exact verse, but it is in that same chapter. Okay, yes, it's verse 20. Okay, this is what verse 20 says. And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So Ezekiel 31 tells us that it is a sign of sanctification. Ezekiel 20:12 says it is a sign of sanctification. Ezekiel 20:20 says it is a sign that he is our God, okay, and that he would be your God if you remain in a sanctified state of being, okay? So we're back in Exodus chapter 31. It says, you shall keep the Sabbath, verse 14, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death, shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So see, it points you back to creation. The Passover doesn't do that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread doesn't do that. The Pentecost Sabbath doesn't do that. It pointed forward to Jesus giving them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Passover. That was around the time that represented his death on Calvary and the days following. You go forward to the Feast of Trumpets. That represents the Great Awakening. You can read about that in Wikipedia. It was when God opened up scriptures to people in the 1700s and 1800s to let them know Jesus was coming soon. That began to lead, that culminated in the Advent movement. And then we have some Day of Atonement was a feast, and that was in 1844, represented Christ moving to the most holy place as it is prophesied in Daniel 8:14. And then you have feasts that have not happened yet, and the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, really was all on the same day. Okay, so these were ceremonial Sabbaths, my friends, and they pointed forward. That represents Jesus coming and a 7-day trip to heaven so that everybody will have an opportunity to keep the Sabbath, for it is a sign of salvation. Okay, so even as the dead rise, people who didn't know, slaves and people from ancient times that didn't know all the truth, but they lived up to the light they had, they will have an opportunity to be Sabbath keepers before they get into the kingdom of heaven, my friends. And so God is merciful. The Sabbath is a sign of our salvation. Now we're going to go, we will be going to Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is beautiful because I want you all to see and know how to deal with the devil when he brings doubt in your mind, when you feel your unworthiness, and when you just, maybe you've just failed, and you realize how you've hurt God, and the devil was, and there's no hope for you. I want you all to understand God is going to remedy that today. In Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 16, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doing. Their way was before me as an uncleanness of a removed woman." So God likened the sins of Israel to the waste matter that is thrown out from a menstruating woman. The Bible is portraying you, portraying me, because we have all sinned. So have you sinned? Are you living in sin right now? This is going to be hope for you. God does want you to repent. Oh, by the way, let me go back and help you understand something with the help of the Lord that will help us both understand it, us all understand it. The children of Israel were a group of slaves coming out of Egypt. They did not know, they had to learn the ways of the Lord. But what God did is he understands how degraded things will be when people don't keep his commandments. So even though they were not all fully converted, he still required them to keep his commandments. And so this is a lesson. Parents, that's why sometimes our children are the way they are. We never laid down the law in the home. We just let them do whatever they wanted to do. And so God is showing us you don't do it that way. Even though they are not converted and they don't love him, they still have to follow the godly rules because those rules keep them from evil. So God took these unconverted people and says, you can't do any work on the Sabbath. That gave them the opportunity on the Sabbath to learn about him. So you have to enforce God's principle and God's law and God's rule. Even in a home, when your child is born, he's not converted, she's not converted, but they still should be taught the ways of the Lord. And God's commandments are to be established by parents, by church leaders in the home and in the church. You don't just let the church do whatever. That doesn't mean that sinners can't come to God. It just means that in church, we uphold the standard. So what has happened in churches is we've lowered the standard to make the church like the world. That's what we've done, friends. And God doesn't want us to lower the standard to make the church like the world. He wanted us to bring the world out of the church. So in the church, the standard should be held. The righteousness of the Lord, it should be done in love. You should be an old, angry deacon just yelling at the kids. Say it in love, but don't let them run through the church like they own the church, okay? But sit them down and in love show them the way of the Lord. Teach them the ways of God. Take them to their parents. Maybe you'll teach the parents something. Hey, we don't allow them to run in the church because it's God's holy place. And maybe share the scriptures. You know, the Bible says the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. So we must be reverent in the sanctuary. So we wanted to bring Johnny to you so you can help us, you know, help him just be calm. But, you know, outside of the church and outside of the Sabbath hours, we definitely want our children to do other things that God made children to do. But even children would keep the Sabbath. Now, I'm not trying to in any way say, friends, that we need to be having long meetings on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, we are counseled not to do that. We're counseled on the Sabbath to take our children out in nature. Children will be children. They need to understand that God can approach them and deal with them as children, and they can appreciate the Sabbath. They should look forward to the Sabbath. And if all you do all Sabbath long is stay in long meetings, okay, preaching to the choir, that is not happy and healthy for the children. They need an outlet, friends. And so provide things for the children to engage their minds on their level. There's nothing better outside of, you know, of course, they can be taught the ways of the Lord in church in ways that they can understand. But outside of that, they need to be taken out in nature and do things, maybe do some outreach, but get them engaged, get them involved, okay? So I just want to bring out the fact that it's important to be obedient, even when people have just come out of heathenism. You don't lower the standard. When you have people in your home, if you don't smoke in your home, don't let them smoke in your home, friends. If you keep the Sabbath in your home, and you should, let them know we don't do this on the Sabbath. Just because they're there, you shouldn't turn on the TV just because guests come in. Now, I realize we have different situations. Some people are in marriages where they came into the truth, but their spouse did not come into the truth, and you just can't say to your spouse, you can't turn on the TV when they've been, you know, watching TV. But you can work out something. You can work out something. Listen, I'm going to be over here in this room on the Sabbath, but can we just not turn on the main one, and you can still watch it in your in the bedroom or whatever, and I just probably won't come in the bedroom. You know, work something out. Let them know you're reasonable. But brothers and sisters, we need to keep God's Sabbath holy. You might be living in somebody else's house. You might be living in your children's house. And because it's not your house and you're living in your children's house, you might not be able to tell them, well, we can't turn on this on the Sabbath day. We can't turn on that because it's not your house. You're living with them, okay? But in situations where we have the authority, we should uphold the standard of the Lord. Amen? All right, so let's find out what God is trying to tell us as in Ezekiel when we've really messed up, when we've messed up his name, and all of us have, when we have just totally given him a bad rap, a bad name. It says, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doing. This is Ezekiel 36:17. Their way was before me as an uncleanness of a removed woman, whereof I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the country. According to their own way and according to their doings, I judged them. So, friends, when you turned your back on God, look where you ended up. You didn't end up well. God scattered you among heathen, okay? But you remember you walked away from him. But God still loves you. We're going to see what he does. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their own way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. Friends, let me tell you something. Some of the most popular people in the world, they know about the Sabbath. Prince, I think he died, when he was alive, went down to Huntsville, Alabama. And you know there's a large school in Huntsville, Alabama. And when he started a particular concert, he said, and for all of you Seventh-day Adventists, happy Sabbath. He knew about the Sabbath. He grew up understanding about the Sabbath. There's many a popular person, brothers and sisters, that grew up knowing about the Sabbath. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are professional people, famous basketball players, famous actors and actresses that had a Seventh-day Adventist background, brothers and sisters. But they've walked away because of the money, because of the fame. And I promise you, in the areas wherein they walked away, God will, they're not happy. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes they saw the hypocrisy. See, God judges based on people's experience and knowledge, and because they saw hypocritical pastors and deacons and elders and so on and so forth, God will have mercy on them because maybe they didn't get a right demonstration of his character, but he still is going to reach them, and they still will suffer because they walked away from God. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity, listen carefully, for mine holy name. This is where we're going to help you understand what to say when the devil reminds you of how you have disgraced God, because we've all done it, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. God said he had pity He didn't say he had pity for us. He said he had pity for his name. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. Now, that doesn't sound like God loves us. He's saying, I'm going to do something for you, but I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for my name. So what does that make it sound like? Well, I'm going to tell you, God did it so that we would have something to say to the devil when he shows us how unworthy we are and how horrible we are. And when we have done detestable things, some of us have done things that if everybody knew what we have done, they wouldn't even want to be around us, okay? But we have repented and we have changed, amen? And you know what you've done that nobody else knows that you've done. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do this not for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. So when you give your heart to God and the devil says, look at what you've done, look who you've been with, look who you hurt. Look at all the mess you've gotten yourself into. God can't help you. You tell him, God says he will help me, but he's not doing it for my sake. He's doing it for his name's sake. So God will take an evil person like me and turn them into a godly person so his name can be glorified. So it's not based on, shut up, the devil, oh devil, because it's not based on what I have done that was right. God already knows everything that I've done that was wrong, and he promised to save me for his name's sake. So you're right, devil. I'm not worthy, but God is worthy. And if he saves me and I'm able to glorify his name, then he can take a sinner like me and bring himself some glory to show that you can, that he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And you'll shut the devil up, because the bottom line is, the devil wants you to dwell on all you've done that was messed up. And then you won't give your heart to God because you'll feel like you're unworthy. So now you have the ammunition. God said, I'm not doing it because you did right. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for my holy name's sake, but I'm going to save you. Let's see what it says. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. So the heathen people, the ones that you made to make the Lord stink in their eyes, they're going to know that God is God because he's going to change you before their eyes. Isn't that beautiful? That he changed me before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and all your idols will I cleanse you. See, this is why God gives us the Sabbath, because he did this kind of stuff for us. Saved us from the mire of wickedness and sin, drinking, debauchery, sexual immorality, lying, stealing, cheating, gambling, all types of evil we've been involved in, friends. And God says, I'm not saving you because of you. I'm saving you because it will glorify my name. So look, devil, get thee behind me. God says, when he changes me from this evil person to a holy person, it will glorify his name. So I'm going along for the ride. Get behind me, Satan. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So God says he puts his spirit on us, and it causes us to be obedient. When he puts his spirit on us, it causes us to walk in his statutes, the Bible says, my friend. This is beautiful. Praise the Lord. And we need to understand how beautiful this really is. God is good. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from your all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes I do this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Oh, friend, God has a work for us to do, even if we're on death row. God has a work for us to do, and he can change us and save us from our sin. And he does it to glorify his name. Therefore, the devil has no argument regarding how much evil and how long we've done a great amount of evil, because God says, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. Yes, you have hurt me. You have profaned my name, but I'm going to save you. And what is his sign of salvation? The Holy Sabbath, because that was the day that he took nothing and turned it into a beautiful world, friend. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. Praise God. So, my friends, God is good. We can be saved. He is saving his people. Let's surrender, but we must be obedient. We learned today that we keep the standard of obedience in our homes and in areas where we have jurisdiction, just like God did. And even though there's punishment involved, they didn't have a love relationship, but they would never have one if they didn't hold up the standard and let it be seen that God is a holy God. See, when you hold the standard, you show in love that God is a holy God. Then a person can decide, if they choose to, I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. Friends, don't you want to be like Jesus today? I do.
Earthly pleasures vainly call me, I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus.
My friends, join us at 12 noon, where we will talk today about how to fight like heaven to save our country. That's at 12 noon. We hope you join us. We will be on Zoom. We'll put the link on Facebook, and those on Facebook can go to the timeline, pick up the link, and join us at 12. May God bless you. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for your love for us. We ask that you would bless us today. We thank you for your kindness as we are involved at this time in this great work of being saved. We ask that you bless us, Lord, that we will be faithful to every condition that you put forth and command that you give. And we ask that you will bless us as we commune with you on this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask my wife to repeat the fourth commandment if she's available to do so, and then we'll have our closing song.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days to thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.